Welcome to another prospect interview on the No Ceilings NBA YouTube channel and podcast feed. I am Maxwell Baumbach, and today I'm joined by one of my favorite sleepers in the 2024 NBA draft class, KJ Jones from Emmanuel. KJ, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, no problem. This is one that I wanted to make happen for a while. I've been a big fan of your game for a couple years, and I'm really excited that you're like finally kind of on the radar for everybody now. You have a really interesting journey. You came up from the Division II level. You were at Portsmouth. I think a lot of guys became more familiar with you after that. But for our NBA fans who are just kind of dropping into the draft process, who might not have seen you play before, how would you describe your game for people that might not be familiar with you?
Yeah, I would describe my game as a playmaker in every sense of the word, whether that be scoring for myself or distributing to teammates. I'm a three-level scorer, so I can finish at the rim in the mid-range or at the three. And I'm actually a very much a pass-first type of player, so I just try to like make the right plays, although people might disagree with how much because of how much I score the ball. But I do try to make the right plays and distribute. But I would just say like a really good playmaker for sure.
For sure. Yeah, I think that's spot on. And you're one of those playmakers that has size too. You measured at like a real 6'6", 6'11" wingspan, I believe, at Portsmouth as well. So I think anytime, I mean, you should look at the playoffs, the kind of guys that are succeeding are these, you know, wing size guys that can do a lot of things offensively and have those multiple weapons, which is a big part of what makes you so interesting. But I always like to kind of go back to the beginning. What was the thing that got you into basketball growing up?
Yeah, definitely my parents. My dad played basketball, and they introduced me to the basketball at a really young age. And so I think I started playing around like age 3 or 4. And I played other sports as well, but I kind of gravitated more towards basketball, and I was better at basketball.
Yeah.
So I just kind of found a love for it really early, like really young. And I just kind of, you know, at some point made it something I wanted to prioritize.
So you ended up playing at Emmanuel in Georgia. It's a Division II program. It's a great Division II program. But what was your recruitment like? Because typically, I mean, now it's becoming more common. We're seeing more guys like Dalton Knecht, who played at the Division II level at some point that make it onto the NBA radar. What was your recruitment like, and what kind of led you to Emmanuel?
Yeah, my recruitment was a little slow. I actually ended up having only one offer coming out of high school, and that was to Emmanuel. So I didn't really have any other options. That's kind of how I ended up there. But not just because of that. Like, they were really good people, and I could tell it would be a really good fit and situation. And I just felt like that's where, you know, God wanted me to be. So that's why I ended up choosing to go to play at Emmanuel. And you know, they were the first people that believed in me as a person and as a player, and it worked out really well for me.
So, and I don't want this question to like sound rude, but I think we have to ask it. You're a guy who's on the cusp, like you've got interest from NBA teams. You're doing all these NBA team workouts. Why did you only have one offer coming out of high school? Like, were you a late bloomer? Like, what sort of happened that was the case?
I would say a big part of it is probably because the team that I played on, I transferred high schools after my sophomore year. I transferred to a different high school because the high school I was at, we had some slow years. I was a pretty good player, but we weren't really winning a ton of games. And so I felt like I needed to like kind of change my situation in order to like, you know, try to take that next step going to college. And so I transferred to a team that we made back-to-back state championship Final Four runs. And so we went to the Final Four my junior year, and we went to the championship my senior year. And so I played with a lot of really high level players that all went on to go pretty much D1. And so I think that definitely played a part in it. Just kind of, I was always like really good. And I was, you know, in high school, I was like a 3-and-D type of player, like just kind of like a shooter and defender. But I played with other really good players who kind of garnered a little bit more of the attention. And so I wouldn't say I was a late bloomer. It just was just a timing thing. Just the guys I kind of played with, you know what I'm saying? That's kind of how I just ended up with one. And it didn't even come until like halfway through my senior season when I first got my first offer. And I ended up only having one. So that's kind of how that played out.
Do you think there was like a benefit to playing with that much other talent though at the same time, as far as just like learning how to play more of a role or whatever? Like,
absolutely. I think that's one of the things that honestly will prepare me for like going to this you know, pro level, like being able to step into that role and going from being the, you know, best player, the first option at my like last school to being, you know, multiple options at this next school, definitely allowed me to learn how to play a role and play within the system and just make winning plays, regardless of, you know, how many shots you got up.
Mm-hmm. So your development at Emmanuel is something else I want to touch on, because it's really interesting. Like it looked like in a lot of this, stats stuff I'm finding online. I watched you've been on my radar since like last season, and then this year is like the film I've consumed on you. Yeah. But it seemed like as a freshman you were basically like a sixth man kind of like scoring option.
Yeah.
And then and then you kind of became the guy during your sophomore year. What was that development like? Like how did you like the sixth man role? And then what was that next step like for you?
Yeah. My freshman year, I came off the bench. And I actually, ended up leading the team in scoring, you know, even though I came off of the bench. But I think it's because of the fact that I did lock into that role, because some games it was sixth man, some games it was ninth man. Like it really fluctuated a lot my freshman year. And so I really just had to lock in on, okay, like whenever my number is called, like I got to be locked in, I got to be ready. You know, like I was kind of expected to be like that spark plug, like. And I think one game I came off the bench and had like 32 points or something. So it was just like one of those things, like you just got to be like ready to go. And I think because I embraced that, that's why I had, you know, such a good freshman year. And I think like going into my sophomore year, my coaches kind of told me like, you know, you got the keys now. Like, you know, like this is your team. Like, you know, just because you're younger doesn't mean you can't be a leader. And that's when I really started to grow as a leader, especially like more vocally, because it was an interesting year, my freshman year, because my first like set of games, the minutes were more up and down, and then they got more consistent, you know, throughout the second half of the season. And I was able to kind of grow and mature into that role a little bit. And then I kind of took off, my sophomore year.
Awesome. Yeah. It's like, curious. It's like, what? It's like, I don't know. Yeah. I just like looked at the stats. I was like, man, he only started like once his freshman year. And all of a sudden he's this All-American level player. So you do, you do eventually become like this All-American and like player of the year level player at the Division II level. Your kind of senior year is when everything sort of starts to really take off and blossom. That's when I first came across you, and I was kind of just really intrigued. Like you mentioned earlier, three level scoring, but what caught my eye with you was the passing, and we'll talk more about that specifically later. But I thought like just the creativity and some of the deliveries and like using your gravity, it really popped to me. With the transfer portal being what it is now, I was kind of wondering, I was like, if he's going to go back and use the grad year, like, is he going to transfer up? And you stated Emmanuel. Can you just kind of talk me through that decision? For I feel like for a lot of guys in your season, it's kind of like, no matter what you do, there's going to be people that are annoyed by it or upset. There's going to be people that are like, oh, why did he want to play Division I? There's also going to be people that be like, why did he leave his team? Why did like that happen? Like, you can't please everybody. So what was that process like for you?
Yeah, great question. I mean, it was tough. There were a few reasons why I decided to stay. One, so loyalty. Like I again had one offer coming out of high school. So like, you know, they were again the first people to, you know, believe in me as a player. And I would say that after my fourth year, is when like the NBA kind of became, you know, real. Yeah. Like a reality for me. Like I felt like I could, you know, take that step. Teams were calling, reaching out to my coaches and people who were trying to be my agent, and you know, a lot of different people. And what I took from that is I've put in a ton of work, I put in a ton of time, and I'm garnering that attention. And so I came to the conclusion that I kind of wanted to test the waters. So I was like, okay, well, maybe I should test the waters and see what happens from there. But there was some kind of rule or mix up where like as a Division II player, like you couldn't like test the waters and like return to your same Division II institution.
Okay.
Like you would have had to have transferred up if you would have chosen not to stay into the draft.
Yeah.
So that was an interesting dynamic. And I wasn't sure if I wanted to take that risk for 1 year, if I was already getting that attention. Had I not been getting that attention after that season, it might have been a situation where it's like, okay, maybe I should go up a level. Maybe I should, you know, see what's going on. And then another reason too is just like the whole how teams tried to like reach out and communicate. A lot of the communication was more about like money and like NIL and like things that I could get on that side versus like what we see you as a basketball player and how we can develop you in that aspect. And I wasn't very comfortable with that. In terms of, I didn't want to potentially ruin something I had going, and not get the basketball focus that I needed.
Yes.
And just worried about just like the dollar signs and the money behind it. Mm-hmm. And so that definitely played a role in it as well. And so I just kind of made a commitment to myself, I've written my story, up to this point, and why not go back again and, be even better, get even better. And that was a big question too. What are you going to do that you didn't do the year before? Mm-hmm. And I didn't win National Player of the Year the year before, and I won it this year. So it's it's different ways you can improve and get better. And, I proved that to myself more than anything. And this past season, there were over 20 NBA representatives at my practices in games that weren't there the year before. So
yeah,
I feel like I made a good decision there.
I agree. And I think that's an important thing for a lot of guys to consider, because you mentioned the basketball fit issue is real. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I see it so often now where I'll see freshmen at mid-major or low-major schools that have a lot of talent and the production isn't quite there yet, but there's a lot of potential. Yeah. And then all of a sudden they're at a high-major program where it's I don't know that you're going to see the floor there. And you got to be really careful. I think for you it's different because you had
the
production track record already, but I do think it's so important to consider what is the basketball fit going to be for me I do move on. So you mentioned all the NBA teams that were coming to see you. And I think that's something that a lot of people also just sort of lose sight of. I don't think people truly can comprehend just how deep in the weeds and how big the scope of NBA scouting is a lot of times, and how even if you are at smaller school, Division II school, whatever, they've got eyes on you if you're good. But there's a lot of pressure and expectations that come with that. You're coming off an All-American season. Your name is on the radar. You're a guy that NBA teams know. You're going back. You're practicing in front of NBA teams. You are playing games with NBA scouts in the crowd. You were the number one player on the scouting report for the other team. People around you kind of know that this is going on. How do you deal with the weight of those expectations and the pressure that comes along with all of that?
For sure. I would say for me, always kind of keeping the main thing, and not getting too high or too low about certain things. It's kind of just how I am as a person. It's just kind of how I operate. So when I knew NBA teams were coming and, the buzz was kind of building, I had a documentary made about me. It was a lot of stuff going on this past year. I realized it was just a product of the work and the things that I had been doing over time. And so I just tried not to get away from that. Just keep doing what you've been doing, stay grounded, stay humble, stay, focused on what you've been doing. And all the things that are happening for you is just a product of the work that you've been putting in over time. So I think they're trying to stay focused on what the end goal was and not kind of getting caught up in that. Cause that is a lot of pressure. Understanding, the expectation of me, individually, to bring things out of my teammates night in and night out, on top of the assignments, game to game that I had, it is a difficult thing to navigate if you're not properly prepared. But I'm very intentional with my time and how I approach the game and how I approach my routine. And I think just being consistent and sticking to that routine is what's allowed me to kind of, succumb some of that pressure.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's really interesting. Cause you knocked it out of the park. You had a great year again. Mm-hmm. There is a couple elements to your game, I think that really stand out on film. One of the biggest ones, obviously, anytime we're talking about anybody playing an NBA role in the modern NBA is shooting. You're 37.1% shooter over your college career from 3-point range. Did it on high volume, did it on a lot of tough shots because you were at the top of the scouting report. But also free throw shooting is a really good indication of how good of a shooter someone's going to be. You were around 87% from the line over the years, which is an elite indicator for a prospect. That's great. What was your shooting development like? And is that something that you felt confident going into college with? And is that something that you feel like you can hang your hat on at the next level?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Definitely coming into college. Like I said, in high school, I was more in that 3-and-D type of role. So I think my senior year of high school, I shot 52% or something from three. So that was kind of my bread and butter going into college, being able to shoot the ball. And it's definitely been something that I've been intentional about working on over the years. Being in college. And I would say it's definitely something I can hang my hat on, especially to like how you said, this year I shot 37 on a really high volume. And I think like the year before that I shot over 40. And it's just it's that's also hard to do with as much that I was like asked to do game to game.
Yeah.
And so I do think like going to the next level, having probably a decreased role a little bit will allow me to grow into that even more, become a better shooter in different aspects, like off of different catches and off of different, you know, situations, down screens, flare screens and things of that nature. Because a lot of my threes, specifically in college, were off the bounce. I didn't get a ton. I did get some, but like not a ton of just straight spot up catch and shoot because I'm the playmaker. Like I was usually the one making plays for other people. And so a lot of my threes kind of came off the bounce. But I do think being able to be in a slightly decreased role, I will be able to grow in that even more at the next level because there won't be as much, you know, on me to do from game to game.
And it's so funny that you bring that up. I'm actually working on like a research article right now about guys who shoot better in the NBA than they did in college. And like usage and role was like the biggest indicator. Like all the guys that shoot a higher percentage had really high usage rate in college. And to your point, something that I thought, again, was just kind of interesting was your percentages on movement shots, which is like what you'd be doing more off the ball. You made 55% of your transition threes this year, 8 for 16 on handoff threes, 38% off screens. Like those are the kind of shots that teams want role players to hit. You were hitting them, which I think is a great, great indicator for you. But I think like we talk about a lot in kind of the scouting realm, the thing then becomes like, okay, this guy can shoot. Teams are going to try to run him off the line. Like, then what? You were a really good finisher this year, but I think what stood out when I initially went into the film was your handle and just how many different ways you have to beat guys to get inside. At 6'6", that's not like a super, super common skill set. Where did like the ball handling come from? Because you mentioned like being more of a 3-and-D guy. Like, how did that all sort of come along?
Yeah, so I worked a lot with my trainer back home in the offseason, specifically as my game was developing over my college years. And like pretty much what we worked on was just kind of like, you know, being more comfortable with the ball, like more in my hands, because like I had been playing a lot more off of the ball. And so like, you know, practicing or training more like ball screen situations. And I think more than anything, like pace, like I think that's a big part of like my handle, like trying to, you know, kind of be deceiving to the defense with how I change my pace and how I move. And so like specifically from my fourth year to my fifth year, I actually moved from off the ball to like point guard pretty much. Like I was playing, you know, on ball. So between like that summer and between those 2 years, I definitely put a huge emphasis like on my handle, you know, low to the ground, like you said, being a taller guard, like having to get lower, you know, than your defenders, is something that I think I was pretty intentional about. And so just getting into tight spaces and trying to keep like low dribbles and like really good pace is something that I think has allowed me to be better in that aspect.
Absolutely. And the other thing I love about your game is drawing fouls is a skill, and you drew a ton of fouls, but this year and last year you took over 10 free throw attempts per game. What is that? Just walk me through the mentality of that, of like just A, being willing to get fouled that much, and then B, like going about it and having that be like a key part of your game. It's like, I'm a dude that takes contact and gets to the line.
I think one of the things that I do, first of all, I watch a ton of film. So like I watch a ton of like film on like, I've watched like James Harden. I've watched like a lot of guards in the league that get to the line a lot. And I think the reason that they're able to do like what they do and something I've tried to like kind of implement in my own game is just like you learn when you make certain moves and when you know the defense knows what you're going to do, you know where they're going to be at in certain moments, if that makes sense. So like, I know if I make this move right here and I step back and I like pump fake, I know he's going to bite for it. And then when he jumps, I'm jumping into him and then I'm getting the foul call. So like really learning kind of how people guard you and like predicting or anticipating, I should say, like where their body is going to be in a certain moment is kind of how I've like picked that apart over time. And I think it also is like, a pace thing as well, like you know, not just going 100 miles per hour to the basket every time, like you know, attacking, slowing down, leaning on 2 feet, pump faking, getting the defense in the air is how I drew a lot of them this year as well. And I was one of my focuses going into my last year was, you know, trying to get more and ones and not just like trying to get, you know, foul calls and get to the free throw line. And so I was able to convert a lot more, you know, getting bigger and getting stronger from year to year. But yeah, I would just say really trying to study the defenses that I played against, and learning, like studying the guys who I knew would be guarding me and how they kind of play defense, and then anticipating where they would be on defense is kind of how I navigate that.
For sure. And do you feel like some of that anticipation and the things like that, do you feel like that carries over into why you're able to develop so much as a passer as well?
Absolutely. I mean, I think just like I said, going back to just like the pump faking, like pass faking, shot faking, like it opens up the floor, especially when you beat your primary defender. So like when you do get to that second level defender, you know, pump fake gets them in the air, and then naturally, okay, he's up, so bounce pass, or his hands are down, throw it up for a lob. So I think like just that feel definitely has been developed there as well in my passing.
For sure. Yeah. It's something that really stands out. I got that averaged over 4 assists a game this past year. And then the other thing I wanted to touch on with you is your defense in particular, because I think that was for me the hardest part, like as a scout, to kind of determine like where you were as a player. Because when guys have such a high offensive usage and their role is a lot, like a lot of it's just getting out of foul trouble is like a lot of what the coaching staff is going to ask of you or whatever. But then you play at the Portsmouth Invitational, and the final game there, you had like 5 steals and a block, and you were like really getting up on guys. That to me was like really instructive and kind of boosted you up my personal board with seeing like, okay, I knew this guy could dribble, pass, shoot, but even at the Division II level, he was so productive that I buy that. But where, you know, I don't know where he's at defensively. And then you had that really strong defensive outing in the third game. Where do you, where do you feel like you're at defensively? And like, what kind of positions do you see yourself guarding at the next level?
Yeah, I feel very, very good as a defender. Believe it or not, I mean, and it was the Division II level, but I actually like got the best assignment every night on defense. Like I had to guard the other team's best players. And so I think at Portsmouth, like one of the things that I was trying to show was my versatility and show that like I could play a role if I had to, you know what I'm saying? Like I don't have to just be the guy offensively. So I kind of made it my, you know, thing like I wanted to do, like go in and just be like a dog on defense, go show them you can sit, use your athleticism, use your size. And so I think like that's kind of how I was able to have that, you know, that third game, just kind of just locking in on that, not being afraid to get up into people. Because again, I've had to guard tougher assignments in school. And even like in the summer times, like people, I feel like don't always play that, you know, into account as well. Like I'm training with and against high level pros and college players during the summer times as well. So I'm very confident in my defense. I think at the next level, 1, 2, and 3, I would say. Definitely like the perimeter positions. I mean, I've guarded like 6'9" guys before, like that were like perimeter players, I guess you could say. And so like I have full confidence for sure, especially on the perimeter at the next level. I think for me, like the weight room and like getting physically bigger and stronger will also take my defense to another level as well, especially at the next level. But I think I have the quickness, especially for my size, to be able to stay in front of people. It's just like when, like if they drive and turn and then try to back you down, like that's where I'm gonna have to like get a little bit stronger there. But as far as like keeping guys in front of me and you know, guarding multiple dribbles and multiple moves, I'm very confident in that for sure.
Absolutely. And then what was like your just overall experience like in Portsmouth and getting to play against, you know, kind of a slew of other really talented guys and kind of come out like looking like one of the better guys in the group, in my personal opinion? Like, how was that experience for you as a whole?
Yeah, I appreciate it. No, it was really, really fun, actually. I had a really good experience. I think for me, just understanding like each thing that I go through is a step closer to where I'm trying to get to. So just taking full advantage of that opportunity, whether it be in my interviews or connecting with other players, and then obviously trying to have some fun on the court. I would say overall, it was a really good experience for me. I learned a lot, like you said, like kind of how to play like a role, playing more off the ball a little bit, being a good cutter, just trying to find different ways in terms of like actually playing. But it was a fun experience and I learned a lot from it. And I definitely I'm still in contact with some of the guys that I met out there, and I run into them in some of these pre-draft workouts as well. So it was a good experience for me.
Yeah, and how is like the pre-draft process going for you? And like, what are the things that like you've been able to show teams that like just because of your role, maybe they haven't gotten to see as much of? Or are there any things that like you feel really good about? Like, hey, this is something I've really put in a lot of work on, and it's going to be a little something different that teams maybe didn't get to see on film.
For sure. So I would say, like, going into Portsmouth, that I wanted to show that I belonged, like that I just, you know, belonged on the same floor as these other guys. And I think in this pre-draft process, like, I've showed not only do I belong, but I can be dominant, that I can be like a really good player, and, you know, the best player in like some of these workouts that I've had. And so like the process has been going really well for me. I'm 10 workouts in now. In fact, one team called me back twice. So I worked out for them twice already. I have another team I'm going back to again next week twice because I had a really good first workout. So they've been really well. And I think in these workouts, like in the, I really do like these like small settings because like you're pretty much in the spotlight. Like it's let's see what you can do. Like, you know, it's three on three. Like it's very small. So like just being able to show like when we play like one-on-one that I can guard, you know, my yard, like I can keep guys in front of me. I can, you know, keep high level players in front of me. And then like on the offensive end, like being able to play in some of the like NBA actions that they have and stuff, like showing that I can still be a creator in these actions, make tough shots out of these actions as well. And I think teams have really been like intrigued with what they've seen with me. And just being able to show again my versatility and also being able to play on and off the ball. Like in some workouts on my team, I'm like the only guard. It's like me and like two forwards. And so like you got to be creative, you know, with how you kind of look to score versus getting those guys touches as well. And then there have been workouts where it's been like three guards versus three guards and like, you know, navigating that. So just playing in different spots and in different roles and showing that versatility, I think has been a really big thing that teams have kind of taken away with me in this process.
For sure. Yeah, I always think that's so interesting. Like when the workouts are are public facing, you see who's in there, where sometimes it's like a guard among a big, like, okay, I know how that's going to go down in my head. And then sometimes, to your point, it's like, that's three guards. They're like two, four bigs in a guard. Like what? Like it's, you never know what you're getting. I think that's kind of really interesting, an interesting way to test guys as a player and kind of see where they're at. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this. For people who want to kind of follow along with your journey and see what's next for you, where can they find you on social media?
Yeah, so on Instagram, I got an Instagram account at only1.kjay. And then on Twitter, it's D1_KJAY. So those are my two social media handles I'm on the most that people can follow me at.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us here. I wanted to get this interview for a while. It was a pleasure to kind of hear your story, and we're rooting for you in every step of the process.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. I appreciate you having me on.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We appreciate it. Don't forget to subscribe on YouTube and your podcast app of choice. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back every single day up until the day of the draft with more NBA draft content. Take care.